Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes people
neighbor can be so evil.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes.
Shalom, shalom, brothers and sisters. Ema, you must have played that. Was that a coincidence, or did you? I mean, that lyric at the end, separate yourself, hallelujah. I don't know if you snuck
That's
that
right.
in and did that on purpose.
I played that on purpose.
I was about to say, the spirit must be moving tonight. Man, you played that, and that's the theme of the night. Hallelujah. Well, we want to welcome our online radio listeners. Hallelujah. Shalom to you all. Thank you for joining us. Welcome again to another edition of the Hebrew Israelite Elders Show. And we are the elders of the Hebrew Israelite Nation. I am Elder Yalaya, and we have with us Ema Ahaya. Hallelujah. We just played that beautiful song.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Ema. Hallelujah. So tonight, we're going to get right to it. We got a lot of information to cover. Hallelujah. We just want to give thanks to the Most High for keeping us with the breath of life in our bodies, to see another day, to see another week go by. And to come before you again to share the good news of the Most High and the message that he's placed on our hearts. Hallelujah. We take this as a privilege. It's not a right. Hallelujah. And it's an honor. So what are we talking about tonight? Well, we've got a couple of things. But we're going to get to the main deal, the very main thing we're going to be discussing. Hallelujah. Yeah, I put this on our hearts. It's time for our separation. If you heard that song, that's what we were talking about. Ema played that song. Couldn't have played a better song at a better time. Time, Israel, Yasharal, whatever way you guys say it, it's time for a separation. Brothers and sisters, it's time for a separation. Hey, aren't we separated? No, not the way we should be. Hallelujah. Subtitle is How Yahuwah's True People Will Be Manifested. Hallelujah. You know, manifested just basically means revealed. Come out in the open. You know, in the LGBT community, at least it used to be a saying. Now everybody just come on out. But it used to be a saying when people, you know, maybe didn't want others to know, didn't want their job to know, maybe they'd get a promotion or something. So you have people who had a different sexual orientation. They wanted to keep it quiet. And back in the day, we call that they stayed in the closet. Ema, I don't think there is a closet today for the LGBT. They're just out and about. So
that's right. Nothing keeping them in.
No. Matter of fact, he's trying to close the cap back there, saying too much. But the word manifested simply means kind of like come out of the closet, be revealed, you know, for the world to see. So primary title is It's Time for a Separation. Subtitle is True People. There's a lot of people saying, well, we're the people of G-O-D. We are the people of the L-O-R-D, you know, someday we're the people of Yah. Yeah, okay, let's do it. But we're talking about how Yahuwah's true people, and we ain't going to do a whole lesson on who is true people. It's the so-called Negro people. How Yahuwah's true people. Now, we ain't saying every Negro person is righteous and seeking the Most High. No, don't get that twisted. We're talking about the bloodline. True bloodline is the so-called how are Yahuwah's true people? How are they going to be manifested to the world? You say, well, you know, they're awakening and a lot of people are knowing. That is true. A lot of people are knowing. But it goes further than that because you can't just know it by word of mouth. You know that old adage that action speaks louder than words? Well, it's true, and it's really true in this case. I'm going to read a scripture later, and I like the way Shaul put it. I love the way he put it. Man, I wish I was as quick on this thing as some of the young people. I'm going to do it slow. But this is a, and if I don't do it fast enough, I'll just pass it on. Ema, I got some things. Here's another thing. Ema is going to, you know, the holidays, Helai days never stop coming in Babylon. So we did the Mardi Gras last week. And guess what's around the corner? And some of you even like it. I don't want to speak for people, but I don't know why these restaurants be so full then. No Israelites going to be in them. We come out none other than Valentine's Day or St. Valentine's Day. And people are going to be, you know, making their reservations, probably already made them, and rushing to spend a lot of money on some pagan. They called him a saint. See, the church deifies their own people. They made up their own saint, the Roman church. And here we go, participating in it. Say, I don't tell you where you're spending your money. You made reservations. You're getting all dressed up, giving your wife a significant other, well, it should be your wife, to her husband, giving them candy or cards, you know, whatever they do. And, you know, next thing you know, you're out of $100 or more. The way prices are today, probably closer to $200. Money is not the only thing. It's look who you're giving your allegiance to. You know, that's idolatry. So just like you've done away with Christmas and all this other stuff, that's just another pagan holiday. And Ema is going to take the first few minutes. She's going to talk about those. She's going to give you some spiritual wisdom on this upcoming holiday called Valentine's Day. It ain't as, you know, peachy keen as you think. There's always a dark beginning, a dark origin with these Helai days. So we did say it's time for separation. And Ema, I'm just going to read the foundational scripture, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. Okay.
All right.
Our foundational scripture for the night found in Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Remember, we're talking about how you as true people will be manifested. Time for separation. Just going to read in King James. It's a short verse, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified, classic Amplified verse. Okay, first start to King James. It reads as follows. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of Yahuwah. Okay, so it says, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of Yahuwah. Now we're going to go right to the Amplified. Same chapter and verse, Romans 8:19. It reads, for even the whole creation, I like the way this one reads, for even the whole creation, all of nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for Yahuwah's sons and daughters. I paraphrase that daughter's part, but hey, sons and daughters. What did scripture say? In Joel chapter 2, it says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah. So it says, all of creation waits expectantly and longs earnestly for Yahuwah's sons and daughters to be made known to the world. Okay? It waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. So the world's still waiting, you know. While you're getting ready for Ema to come on, just know this. The world is still waiting. Yes, a lot of us, the world, have heard you say, you and I say, who are the true Israelites? And a lot of them have done their researching before this awakening, and they knew they were waiting on us. But here's the thing. They hear us say it, but they're waiting for us to be it. Say that again. They hear us say it, proclaim it, and we're right. But more importantly, they're waiting for us to be it. So they're not just, you know, waiting for us to say, hey, we are the true sons and daughters of the Most High. We are the true children of Israel. They're waiting for us to be it. They're waiting to see it. You know, like folks from Missouri, the show me state, show me. Don't just tell me, okay, you walk me through all your documents and everything. I even believe you. Show me that you're the people of the book. I want to see some manifestation. Okay, that's enough there because we've got a lot to cover, and I want Ima to kind of take her time and go through this. Because I'm anxious to learn a little bit more about this St. Valentine that I didn't know. So, Ima, take your time there, and I'll be back up after you. Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah. Now, I briefly about Valentine's Day, because I know most people, most of our family members that are listening to the program this evening, they already know. But for those who are coming in new, who are new to Yah's order of life, maybe you haven't gotten to this yet, because like I said last week, every time before, don't wait till the day of, but hopefully before that holiday comes up, look it up for yourself. Share it with others that don't know. Share it, please, about the holidays that are coming, because none of the holidays that the other people are doing pertain to us. And when you see that in the scriptures, you will know that the basics still exist. We are still not to go out from serving Yah. And let's start with Valentine's Day. Tonight, we know Valentine's Day is next week on the 14th here in America, in other places as well. And for anyone that wants to look this up, because I just looked it up online. I didn't have to buy a book for this now. Nowadays, while the computers are still working, while your phone is still working, look it up. And you can look this information up in Wikipedia. And it says that in 1909, they made Valentine's cards. That's when they started that. Now, also called the Saint Valentine's Day or the Feast. Understand that the Feast of Saint Valentine. It's what they call Valentine's Day. Now, and this goes on for people in many countries. There are several countries that are worshiping, celebrating Valentine's Day. And there is a Christian type, a romantic type, a cultural level to it, a commercial, especially, observance of Valentine. And Feast Day of St. Valentine, the celebration of love and affection, is what's going on. That's what it signifies to us here in America. And then sending greeting cards and gifts and dating and church services and all that kind of thing is going on. That's how we observe it in America. And since we live in America, most of us, we know that wherever America has gone, the English people have gone, and many other countries have gone to, especially in Africa, because they want to cover over us there, they are celebrating February 14th. Unfortunately, that's the way it's going. And February 14th is a fixed day in Western Christian church. Now, see, there you go again. Satan's spot, the Christian church. Western Christian Church. And then on July the 6th, I know we're thinking, well, we're celebrating July 4 as, oh, no. I'm saying July 6th. July 6th is a fixed Valentine's Day in Eastern Orthodox Church, okay? The Eastern Orthodox Church. And we see where we are originally getting the St. Valentine's Day. That's why they call him the Saint. And on July 30th, it's fixed by the Eastern Orthodox Church in other countries, you see. So the Eastern Orthodox people are everywhere else with this kind of stuff. If it ain't Americanized, shall I say, or English, UK, then it is still in other countries. It's just by different dates. Those are the main 3 dates that have been fixed by the churches, the Christian churches, really, over us. And don't let it fool you. Just because you don't think it's a Christian church, it can be any kind of church with Lutheran or whatever on it, and they still are Christian churches, okay? Now, let's go to Valentine's Day, as it is called Valentine's Day on the Feast of St. Valentine. It's celebrated, like I said, annually and see once a year on February the 14th. It originated in a Christian feast day honoring one or two Christian martyrs named St. Valentine. See, because as you know, the popes, they named themselves after previous popes. If they, anytime they want to, they take that name. There are plenty of St. John's, St. Luke's, St. Luther's, or whatever. And so now there are at least 3 St. Valentines who have been popes. And though later folk traditions have become a significant cultural, religious, and commercial celebration of romance and love in many regions of the world, see, all over the world, there are a number of martyrdom stories associated with various Valentines connected to February the 14th, including an account of the imprisonment of St. Valentine of Rome. Now, this one was of Rome that we see information on most of the time when we look in the computer. For ministering to Christians persecuted under the Roman Empire in the 3rd century, according to an early tradition, St. Valentine restored sight to the blind daughter of his jailer. Now, where else have we heard that? He restored sight to the blind daughter. Isn't that something? See, they do things similar to what they know we're going to read about our heritage, you see, about our Messiah doing these kind of things. And they put that in there on purpose, on him. And numerous later additions to the legend have better related it to the theme of love. An 18th century embellishment, now embellishment means something that they put in place and put on the legend, to the legend complains, or excuse me, the legend claims he wrote the jailer's daughter that he took and gave her her fight back. Well, he wrote a letter to her, and he signed it, Your Valentine. See, now you see, when we were children, they told us, go buy those little Valentine cards and put everybody's name on one, and everybody in class will give each other one, and everybody have a bunch of them. You see, that's what they do. They train up. Just like, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag. They train us to say these things and do these things. And as a farewell for his execution, an addition posits that St. Valentine performed what? Weddings for Christian soldiers who were forbidden to marry. Now, why would you be forbidden to marry? I don't know. I didn't look that up just yet, but think about it. He's freeing them to feel like this is something they can do. And so that's what they did. They got married. He married them himself. And there's another one about the Feast of St. Valentine. It was established by Pope Gelasius I in A.D. 496. A.D. 496, you say to yourself, like, wow, this has been a long time. They've been working on us and themselves a long time. See, these are celebrations of other people, not of Yah's people. And to be celebrated on February the 14th in honor of who? St. Valentine of Rome. They specify which one. Of Rome, who died on that date in 269 A.D. So he died on that date. So that you're really celebrating him and worshiping him. The day became associated with romantic love in the 14th and 15th centuries when notions of courtly love flourished. Apparently, by association with the lovebirds of early spring in 18th century England, it grew into an occasion in which couples expressed their love for each other. Okay? That was at least couples back then. Their love for each other by presenting flowers, offering confectionery, and sending greeting cards known as the Valentine's card. And Valentine's Day symbols that are used today include the heart-shaped outline, doves, and the figure of the winged Cupid. Oh, yeah. Let's not get on him right now. We know who Cupid is. And since the 19th century, handwritten Valentines have been given way too much mass production for greeting cards. And in Italy, St. Valentine's keys are given to lovers as a romantic symbol and an invitation to unlock the giver's heart, as well as to children to ward off epilepsy called St. Valentine's Malady. Wow. I didn't know that. Wow. They give the kids keys to ward off a disease? Wow. Now, let's go to the next portion. It says St. Valentine's Day is not a public holiday in any country, although it is an official feast day in the Anglican Communion and the Lutheran Church. Many parts of the Eastern Orthodox Church also celebrate St. Valentine's Day on July 6th in honor of Roman Presbyter St. Valentine, and on July 30th in honor of Hermanomartyr Valentine. See, the Bishop of Intermana, modern tyranny. Okay, so that's two of them already. You see, right there, two of them. The Roman Valentine and another Valentine who is the bishop, who was, shall I say, the Bishop of Intermana. You see how thick it gets. The rope just keeps getting thicker and thicker that we're putting around our necks. And I do know that in ancient times, it is said that people would take their children to the altar and kill their children. That's how they would celebrate, okay, Valentine's Day. So that's why the arrow goes through the heart, you see. Because when somebody puts something through your heart, well, that usually kills you, right? Think about it. Think about all these indicators for any of the holidays, because it is a little piece of hell that we are experiencing, and most of us are doing it to ourselves, because you know what our parents taught us. Let's be, there we go again, let's be like them. Let's be like the other people. They want to be like us so bad, especially the children. Because when the children are in school and everybody's got cards and candy but them to give out, then it's painful to them not to be able to do it most of the time. Because that's just the regular student. But the students of Yah, they know they're not going to mess with it. They just tell the teacher, I'm not celebrating it, I'm not participating, so we'll go to another room while y'all do that, or we'll just stay home that day, whichever one you want us to do. But a lot of our children, their parents are not aware of these things yet. And so they go because their parents give them the cards and the candy and everything and send it to school with them. And that's it, end of story. And that's how they end up celebrating it without being aware of it until they get old enough to look these things up themselves. So let's keep that in mind. And now, let's go to some more history real quick. It says numerous early Christian martyrs were named Valentine. The Valentines honored on February 14th are Valentine of Rome and Valentine of Terni. And the Valentine of Rome was a priest in Rome who was martyred in 269 and was added to the calendar of saints by Pope Gelasius I in 496 and was buried on the Via Flaminia. The relics of Saint Valentine were kept in the church and catacombs of Saint Valentino in Rome, which remained an important pilgrimage site throughout the Middle Ages until the relics of Saint Valentine were transferred to the Church of Santa Prassede during the pontificate of Nicholas IV. The flower crown skull of Saint Valentine is exhibited in the Basilica of Santa Maria in Cosmedin, Rome. Other relics are found at White Nerf Street Carmelite Church in Dublin, Ireland. So even Ireland, see, they done put themselves in there. They gotten at the top of the level also for this confusion that they have been spreading. And so they tell you about the history of the Valentine men and all that. But let's keep in mind that it's not going to stop until we look these things up for ourselves, get that information we need to get, share it with our children, share a little bit at a time, just let them know we're not participating in that, we're not going to be doing that, and not you either, okay? And that's what we got to do is just keep the word going, because the word was to go from our children to each other throughout the generations. We tell them, they tell their children, everybody tells their children, and keep it going. And so when they beat that out of us, when they brought us here, we did not pass on. Most of us did not pass on who Yah is. But there's always a handful that he leaves among us to tell us. And we are just happy to be part of that handful that's telling us that this exists, and now you can see it, you can find it, you can read it, because they didn't even want us to know how to read here in this crazy country. And so let's go ahead and go to the scriptures on this so that you will know that this is what the scriptures is talking about. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 45. I'm looking at the King James Version. That's going to be Matthew 5, verses 43 through 45. We have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust. So it's going to rain on us all. The sun is going to shine on us all. We just have to do what he asks us to do, and just pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us, okay? And we have to do good to those that hate us as well. And if we're tired of doing that, if we can remove ourselves apart from those people or individuals or governments or whatnot, do so if you can. Now, we do know that people hate us all over the world now, so there's not too many places you can go. So remember that. You have to stand. We have to stand. Because in Exodus 20, verse 3, Exodus 20, verse 3, Ten Commandments tells us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He said, don't put them in my face. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about it. Because he tells us in Exodus 23, verse 13, Exodus 23, verse 13, and in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of your mouth. You see that? Don't let it be heard out of your mouth, which means we can't be running around here talking about the Valentine's Day. I'm going to give you a Valentine's gift and all this kind of stuff. And let's go buy some Valentine's cards for the kids and candy for them to give to other children. And all this kind of stuff, we can't do that because that is really worshiping another god and putting another god in the face. It's slapping them in the face with it that we don't believe in him. We're going to go do our own thing. And, you know, we have to start thinking of these things on a more personal level, one-on-one level. We are to have a one-on-one relationship with the Father. That's what it's about. Because we can't all go with each other. I can't go for you. You can't go for me or anybody else. We have to prepare our own relationship with the Father and teach our children how to be on one-on-one level with the Father. If they will listen, a lot of them don't listen, but if you got some children that are listening to you and understanding you, then Yah has really chosen them because they're going to be the next warriors for Yah. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 28, go there. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 28. It tells us point blank. And a what? A curse. A curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Most High Yah. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. You see, he don't want you hanging out with them. You only to hang out with him. Remember, it's a one-on-one relationship with Father Yahuwah. That's all it is. That's all it's about. And then let's go further. Let me just go on here. Okay. It says here in Jeremiah, chapter 19, verse 4. Jeremiah, chapter 19, verse 4. Go there for me, and we'll go right ahead and read that one. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. See, that's where the children's sacrifice came in as well, blood of innocents. And other people that don't know better but you do, and you're leading them in the wrong direction, leading them to do the Valentine's Day and all this other kind of stuff, you see. And it's because he's telling you, you have forsaken him. So you have just overlooked him and say, oh, well, that's just Yahuwah. Hey, I'm not worried about him. You need to be concerned for yourself, about yourself, when you ignore the Ten Commandments, when you ignore the Father, when he tells you, have no other gods before him. He says in Jeremiah chapter 35, let's go further over, in Jeremiah 35, verse 15. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 5, verse 15. And he says, I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early in the morning and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way and amend your doings and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. He said, you're not listening to me. You're not even bending your head over with your ear to closely hear what I'm saying. You don't want to understand me when I say these things to you, that you should do for yourself, you should do for me. And that's what's so wrong about us. We would rather do something more fun. But Yah gives you fun also. But you have to be relaxed and you have to be prayed up to be part of his family. Because we enjoy ourselves as well. But you want to enjoy every single thing that everybody else is doing. That's not going to work for you if you want to be in the kingdom. He tells us in Jeremiah 44. Let's go down to 44, Jeremiah 44, verse 3. The Father is telling us something special right there. He said, because of our wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, and in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, yea, nor your fathers. There it is again, repeated. Several of these things are repeated because they have to confirm each other. So we can't go running around doing wickedness by serving these other gods and think that he's not going to notice it, because he knows everything. We have to remember he knows it all. He knows everything about us, and we are provoking him to anger. Yah is letting us know it's not good to trip with him, okay? Don't do it. Don't think about doing it. If you plan on trying to get into the kingdom, hopefully we'll be found to be the kind of people that he wants to be in his kingdom, that we are blessed to be in his kingdom, that we stood up to everything as best we have, as best as we can. But don't say, I'm doing the best I can, and you plan on celebrating Valentine's Day next week. Okay? Don't do it. Because it's not for us to do. Valentine's Day is not something that he put in the word for us to celebrate. That's all we got to do is look at Yahuwah's word, and it will tell us what we should and should not do. Spend your time looking for information that tells you what you should or should not do. A lot of us have these scriptures in our phones and all that kind of stuff now, and on our computer. We can look up words that will tell us. He'll give us the words, too. If you don't know what they are, he'll give you a word or two that'll send you where you need to be. He'll send you a phrase that you remember from a long time ago. He said he would bring it back to our memory, family. He will, and he will, and he will. So that's all the information I want to give us today about this Valentine's Day madness. So don't let Satan get you all involved with him in doing that, okay? Don't succumb to him. Stay with Yah, and you'll be happy, you'll be healthy, and all will be manifested the way he wants it manifested in you and through you. Okay, Elder Yaliah, that's all I have to put forward to our family today. That's enough. There's plenty of that information. Everyone in Wikipedia, like I said, is about, six pages or so of information on it in there. and you can find it. Just look for it. That's all I got to say. Are you ready to come on back in as elders? Mm-hmm. There you go.
Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, indeed, Imai. Thank you so much. I learned more about Valentine's Day in the last 20 minutes or so than I've learned all of my life. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I not only stopped observing Valentine's any other of these days. I mean, I used to, you know, take girlfriend or wife out to dinner and all that stuff. The Bible says, come out of her, my people. Come out customs and all the things. You know, not just come out of the nightclubs and all that. Come out of her customs, her ways, her wicked culture, pagan culture. You know, we have to be set apart, and that's what this message coming up is about. It's time for a separation. And honestly, as a whole, I know individuals, some individuals doing great, man. Yes, hallelujah. You should be commended. But as a whole, we can do better as far as being a separate, a set apart, hallelujah. And for that, we're going to get right into this. We want to set the tone first. I want a couple of scriptures I want to read just to set the tone. Where are we going tonight? You know, Yahuwah has blessed us. We have probably hundreds of messages now. You go to our archives, and Yahuwah has helped me, Imai, Elder, to compile a great list, a great archive, I should say, of edifying messages for the Most High for the last almost 4 years. And even before that, before I came on board, they were going on with it. And hallelujah for that. Spoken word is great. It's edifying. The Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahuwah. And that is great. But you know what? There's another segment to this, walk, and the words are one thing, but the manifestation, the power, the revealing is another. That's why we read the opening scripture, for the earnest expectation of the creature, the world, the whole world, waited. They're waiting. They're longing for the manifestation of the sons and daughters, the truth. Seen a lot of religion, a whole lot of religion before we were born, before our grandparents were born. I mean, it goes way back. The world is probably gagging over religion. You know, when you stuff so much food in a baby's mouth, and or even your own mouth, if something bad that your body rejects, when you reject it, what happens? Your innards, you know, your insides are, no, I don't want nothing to do with that. It tastes nasty. I feel this is bad for the body. It's going to bring it back up. You know, back in the old days, come on, when party too hard, indulged a little bit too much in the adult beverages, what did your body do? It went back up. It's too much. Well, the world has had a lot teachers, preachers, orators, great speakers, speak circles around us. You know, Bible says gifts and callings of the Most High are without repentance, born to talk, gift of gab, gone for days, they could entertain you. But the world has seen so much of that, but has the world seen the mighty hand of the Most High move? And that's what we're talking about tonight, because it's high time, fulfilled. Hallelujah. The world's about to see what they've been longing for. That's the true manifestation of the sons and daughters of Yahuwah. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is he's vibing right now on this. He's feeling this way, because you could hear it coming through his letter. I feel it. And what he's going to say in these next five verses, this is 1 Corinthians chapter, starting at verse 1, You could feel it jumping out at you. It's not all about the talk and the wise talk. Hey, I could piece together a message better than you. I could preach a sermon. I could do. That's not what it's all about in the kingdom. You know, if you want to make a living at being a motivational speaker, okay, that's one thing. But if you want the power of the Most High to be upon you and in you and work through you, it all, you know, you're going to have to bring more to the table than just some high-sounding words. Press with your eloquency of speech. It's going to take more than that, because that's not going to break the yoke. That's not going to help their problem. They're going to still have that problem before they hurt you. And they're going to still have that problem after they hurt you. See, because without the anointing, there's no change. There's no difference. The scripture says the anointing is what breaks the yoke. Somebody's trying to get free from drugs, alcohol, sexual demons. All of your eloquent speech is not going to do that. It's going to take the power of the Most High, usually working through the anointed man and woman of Yahuwah. It's going to take that anointed word, that living word, that rhema word, going into that person's spirit and touching them and setting them free, releasing their bondage. It's going to take the power of the Most High. And I see that lacking. Hallelujah. But we're never just going to bring a message here and just speak to the problem without offering solutions. Hallelujah. So stay to the end. Here's what our brother Shaul, Paul, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. You're going to hear him. He's not going to say, you know, listen to me. I'm a great educated man, because he was. But he's going to get right to the nitty-gritty. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of Yahuwah. See? He says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Yahusha HaMashiach and him crucified. He's cutting right to the chase. Don't. If you came to hear me speak eloquent words, you're in the wrong place. I come to, with the anointing. He says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Okay, here's the meat of it. And my speech and my preaching and his teaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. Hallelujah. It says, but in demonstration of the Spirit, and we say Ruach, right, today? In demonstration of the Ruach HaKodesh and of power. That verse, I have to repeat it. He says, and my speech and my preaching and teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come to impress you so you could hear how good I can teach or preach. He says, but came for the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, if you want to be set free from something, which one are you going to choose? If you're bound by a demon, you've been trying to get off of Heron 10 years or more, and you heard about this speaker coming to your town, and they're supposed to be able to help you. They're going to minister words from the Bible. And what you want to hear is somebody who could take the Bible and just speak so eloquently, parse phrases together, and just, oh, boy, grammatically correct. People patting them on the back, you sure can't speak good. Or would you want to hear a person just with a few words, maybe, and maybe their speech is just street speech, hood talk, but they have the Spirit of the Most High, and they have the anointing. See, that person could say, you know, I don't speak these high words, but I come for the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Verse should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High, Yahuwah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this other scripture goes right with it, even though it's a couple of chapters over. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. It says, for the kingdom of Yahuwah is not in words, but in power. Okay? Hallelujah. That's why our boy Gideon, the great warrior Gideon, who didn't know he was a great warrior, until the Most High told him he was a great warrior. See, that's the power of anointed word. The words from the Most High through the Malachi, through the angels, was anointed. It was on fire. And it changed. And somebody just came up to Gideon. You don't know nothing about war. And they say, Gideon, you know you are a mighty warrior, my man. Gideon would have looked at him like they crazy. He almost did that, the Malachim like that. But the Malachim gave him a sign that, yes, you were talking with a Malach of the Most High. And that changed everything for Gideon. He got the confirmation he needed. He heard the anointed word that was on fire. But before that, Gideon was saying, what, Judges chapter 6, verse 13? Probably like a lot of people. They say, where are all the miracles? Where's the power? What? Gideon say, where's the miracles that we supposed to heard about it happened in our forefathers' time? You know, the Most High leading his people out, Mizraim, Egypt, with a mighty hand. Say, we ain't seeing nothing today. You know, he didn't just working. He come from a poor family. You know, that's why he had to double check and say, wait a minute, you saying I'm going to do all this? You call me a mighty man of valor? I don't know nothing about military. The voice, the word of Yahuwah had spoken, and it's not going to return void. So Gideon had to give it the program. Be it done unto me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about manifestation tonight. Okay, now, we're going to go real quick. We got a lot to cover. Pray to Yah that we can. But that scripture, Romans 8:19, about the earnest expectation of the creature waiting for the manifestation of the sons of Yahuwah, hallelujah. That's been one of my favorite scriptures. I have a lot of favorite scriptures, but that's one of them. And when I think of it, something burns within me, excitement, something that's hidden, that's about to be revealed, that's about to come to the forefront. That's how I feel about that scripture. It's like something exciting, like, yes, something that's been hidden away from man is about to be revealed. See, I've known for years in the core of my spirit during my walk with the Most High, and especially over the last couple of decades, say about since 2000 or so, that something is not right. Hear me out. Something is not there. Whether I was in the Christianity, which I was back then, Christian minister, and I was, for the most part, I was really trying to toe the line, you know, because I never liked religion. So if I'm just in it to sit down in a pew and listen to some man preach and give him an offer and walk out and think that's going to help my life, I that never got me. I love to see the power of the Most High because I want it to change. And I know just talk wasn't going to change me. So I love, and I've seen the stations of the Most High in my life. See, so it doesn't matter if you're on this side of it, if we're in this awakening, and we know who we are as a people, or when you were in Christianity or Islam, whatever, if you saw the manifestation of the Most High then, don't discount your experience. Because the same Most High, if you're his, and scriptures say Yahuwah knows those who are his, he has preserved you from this to this, no matter what you've called or labeled yourself. What did he say about Jeremiah? When you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you intimately, you know. And before you came out, I ordained you to be my messenger, my prophet to the world. Yahuwah knows those who are his. And whether you're still in something like Christianity, but you love the Most High. Your journey hasn't stopped. He's moving you forward. So whether I was in Christianity or in calling on JC and G-O-D, or whether I had come into the knowledge of who we are as a people, Israelite identity, and calling on the names of Yahuwah and Yahusha, there was still that same feeling in my core that something is missing. Not with the Most High. I'm talking about how it's manifested the truth down here on earth. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the fact that the Most High has awakened me out of a religious sleep. That's what I refer to it as. And revealed and confirmed to me who I am, who he is, and who our true Messiah is. Hallelujah for that. I absolutely love the revealing and fulfilling of prophecy being fulfilled, because it's been fulfilled right before our eyes. The prophecy of what? Who we are. How did we come? How did we get into the messed up situation, the debilitating mess that we've been in for the last nearly 2,000 years, especially the last few hundred years, or let's say the last 400 to be more precise. But we know all that. See, when we was in other forms of religion, we didn't know all that. We come to church to hear pastor, maybe jump and shout, pay for it. You know, you pay for the entertainment. You bucket, come by, or you walk around. And we feel good, and we leave. May hear some good music if you look. See, that's what I'm talking about. Something was missing. But listen, if you are indeed the Most High child, you've acknowledged that Yahushua HaMashiach has laid the path, or I should say has restored the path to our salvation. That's why in Isaiah 58, 1 through 12, it says he's called the repairer of the breach, because our forefathers breached the contract, the covenant that they entered into with the Most High. And we've been suffering the ramifications ever since they breached it. But if you have acknowledged the atoning work of Yahushua and are following in his path by adhering to his laws and commandments of the Father, who's placed them, the Father has placed those commandments in our hearts. Now, I'm going to say something a little bit about this, because I hear people online, internet, and boy, if you bring up laws, commandments, oh, they get real churchy on you. Oh, it's by JC and him alone. That's it. Okay, that's why the religious world, including the church world, is in the mess that they're in. It'll take me all night to name the filthiness that goes on there. Same filthiness that had them to proclaim that the laws are done away with. And Yahushua never said that. Matter of fact, he said just the opposite. Think not that I come to destroy the law, to do away with the law. He said, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot of tittle is going to fall from this law. So if you're adhering to his commandments, to your ability, those commandments where? In your heart. See, that's the foolish part that they think. Oh, it's done away with. Well, Jeremiah 31 says, talking about he's going to renew this covenant. He's not going to change his laws. The renew part is mean he's going to make them more dear, near and dear to you. Just like someone revised a software. You was on version 9, now version 10. They don't throw away everything version 10. They just, it's just the application is easier to use. It's closer to you now. You don't have to carry around the tablets of stone anymore. He's taken those words and he's placed them in your heart. How'd they get there? By his spirit, by his Ruach HaKodesh. So he's placed them. Read his word. Read Jeremiah 31 and 31. and how go against his word and talking about the laws are done away with. When he said he's taking those laws and he's putting them inside your heart now. He's putting them in your heart. So if you're trying to say there's a new covenant, that is the new covenant. The laws are closer to you now. Guess what? You have even less of an excuse to sin, to fornicate, to act a fool. Because what is a fool, the Bible say? A fool is a person who acts as if there is no creator. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So you want to act a fool like you don't have to keep his laws and commandments? You go right ahead. I'm going to stay on safe ground. I'm going to do my best. Because he says if we do our best, he said, if you walk in the light, 1 John chapter 1, he said, if you walk in the light, in his truth, as he is in the light, he said, the blood of Yahushua HaMashiach will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, that's our security blanket. But people got it twisted. They have you thinking in some churches that you can live like you want to live because you said a few magic words, almost like witchcraft, a few magic words. You said a magic prayer on an altar. Don't let us get into altars. If you think every altar in the church is of the Most High, you got another thing coming. You went down to an altar, some type of altar, and said a prayer. Now, to be honest, you might have said a prayer at your home, at somebody's home. But you can't say a few words and go against the Most High's word, his principles and precepts, and think you're walking the right way. If you love him, he'll show you. But those who are stiff-necked and rebellious, what happened? They keep on doing that? He said, you keep on, I'm going to go ahead and give you over to a reprobate mind. You know, then you're not going to know any better. Oh, no. They talking about the blood of JC, do this. The blood of our Mashiach is a powerful atoning blood. But if you think his blood that was spilled on this earth, that it's to keep whoremongers, killers, murderers, adulterers, and the like, robbers, stealers, whatever, witches, witchcraft, you think it's to tee them a one-way ticket to Yahuwah's kingdom, and they can live like the devil here on earth, then you've been bewitched by your religious institution. You've been bewitched. That blood is for those who love him. He said, this is the love of the Most High, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, 1 John 5 and 3. Okay, that was just a little sidebar, but I take it real personal because I'm up close and personal to this false doctrine. You know, once you say you Jesus, you're on your way. You're heaven bound. You might live like the devil, but you're heaven bound. That's a lie. Right from look what Yahushua said in Matthew 24. He goes on to say how hard the tribulation be, and he says, hold on. He said, those who endure until the end. Why do people of the flesh who wants to live a fleshy life and think that they can still walk right into the kingdom, dirty as can be, why do they skip over all of these cues that the Most High has set up in his word? Yahushua, the one who you supposed to believe in, said, but he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. So, but you have people, you know, as long as you get that money and tithe, you have people thinking, that's it. You're locked in, brother. If you're following the Mashiach, those tablets of stone are closer to you. They're right in your heart if you're his child. So what's the significant difference, is the question, between us, the so-called people of Yah, and those who love him, those who follow the Mashiach, and the world? Some of you are going to say right off the bat, well, we're going to the kingdom, or we're kingdom bound. And that may be true. Let's hope that's true for all of us. And speaking for myself, I do believe I'm kingdom bound. You're supposed to have faith. I do believe that. Hallelujah. But just as I said earlier, Scripture said, he that endureth to the end. Now, I believe that. I believe I'm going to endure to the end. And I hope you, his children out there, you believe that you're going to endure to the end. Fighting the good fight of faith. You know, being doers of the word and not hearers only. And hopefully we'll be able to utter the words that the great apostle Paul did at the end of his life. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I finished my assignment. And I've kept the faith. Okay? And he says, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And not for me only, but for all those who love Yahushua's appearing. But the kingdom is on the other side. In other words, that's our inheritance, our blessed hope. It doesn't mean that there should, that the world should not see a difference right here and right now in our present lives. And that's what we're talking about tonight. The thing is, too much like the world. Listen, don't take this as judgmental. We're speaking to ourselves first. Now, some of us live like the world. We get stressed out like the world. We get sick like the world. Some of us are fearful like the world. You know, we're all stressed out and fearful. Wonder, you know, they're going to lay us off of our job if we don't take a jab or something like this. And, you know, we stress out about things like that. And last but not least, we die like the world. You say all of us die. Well, we die from the same sicknesses and diseases that the world dies from. Cancer, heart disease, diabetes, stroke, AIDS. And now you could add COVID to that list, or vaccine, or complications from the vaccine. So you say we all have to go, right? Talking about death or transition. Yeah, that may be true. But didn't you say that we're a peculiar people? We're different? It should be a difference manifested in all areas of our lives. Even death, we're going to explain that. But for now, just know we are not supposed to mirror the world. We're not supposed to look like the world. Now, that's biblical. The Bible says, come out from her and be separate. See, Yahuwah demands a difference, a separation. Because how else will the world identify and recognize Yahuwah's people from the world if we're looking so much like the world? There must be a difference. And in turn, it must be a separation. Listen, to say it another way, it's time for the world to see the Most High in and through its people. That's what that foundational scripture was all about, that foundational scripture of Romans 8:19. The world is waiting to see us, those who say we are Yahuwah's people. It's waiting to see us. In other words, they're waiting to see something different. They're waiting and longing to see something real, not some slick talk from some slick preachers and teachers who have the gift of gab. They want something real. They want to see the Most High Spirit, his power manifested. And they're only going to be able to see that in and through his people. But what's up with the manifestations of the Spirit? Like the great Gideon said earlier, like I say, he said, where are all the miracles? Where are the great manifestations our forefathers talked about? So where are they? Where are all the miracles? Where are all the manifestations? Where is the power? And just as importantly, where or what is the difference between the Most High's people and the people of the world? Okay, that was the whole setup. So we're going to, because I know I threw some people off when I say we live like the world and we die like the world. You know, we get sick and everything. Well, all you heard this, well, you got to die with something. What you're saying is you got to die with some disease. Okay. Nothing better than firsthand accounts, firsthand testimonies. By the way, that's a lie from hell that you got to die from some disease. Yes, it is. I don't care what some preachers say. Trust me. Study this out exhaustively. No way in this scripture that says you got to die from a disease. You say, well, how do you die? Well, how do you die if you don't die from the disease? You get old enough, you're going to die with it. Yeah. You can die if you're not one of the people, let's put it this way, if you're not one of the people who will be here in the flesh when the Mashiach comes back, then yes, you are going to what they call death, or you are going to have a transitional experience, transition from this flesh body into our new spirit body. There will be a transitional spirit experience. Matter of fact, if we want to just go the whole nine yards, everybody's going to have what the world considers a death experience. Yeah, even those who are here, even those who are here physically when the Mashiach comes back, you say, oh, man, I was late. I felt this too. Oh, I felt it. I want to be here when the Mashiach comes back. Who don't want to be here when the Mashiach comes back? But I, you know, what's one of the main benefits we all thought? Well, won't have to die, right? Won't have to die. Well, will you? Let's just say this. When somebody dies in the flesh, what we all know as death, the classical definition of death, this body stops breathing, all the organs shut down, the breath of life, you would take the breath of life, that body is gone. Okay. So ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Go back to the ground. Some people have it burned. Okay, so you say, well, that's a death experience. Doctor checked him out. Heart wasn't beating. He's dead. Here's the death certificate. That's how we look death. Brother, you put him in the ground. Now, if that person died in the Most High, died in Yahusha, then that person moves from death to life, scripture says. Okay, so they're going to go through their transitional experience. They have to go in the earth, go back to the earth, and they're going to go on with their transitional experience. They're going to get their new body, their new spiritual body. Hallelujah. A much better, way better upgrade. But how about you who are here, and maybe even me, who are here? If when the Mashiach comes back, if we are here to witness that. Scriptures say flesh and blood should not inherit the kingdom. Okay, and also didn't it go through and start detailing all about what's going to happen? It says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. What's another word for change? Transformed. Transition. See, people with physical death, they go through their transition. So you think you're going to take this old body or young body, whatever, however you are, when the most Yahushas come back, you think you're going to take this same body, you weigh 160 pounds and, you know, hair's this long, and you think you're just going to take that body and just walk into the perfect kingdom? When you say flesh and blood should not inherit. Don't you know he said it's corruptible, must put on incorruptible? Your flesh body is corruptible, whether nobody told you that or not. That's corruptible. Can't make the trip. You're going to have to check out. Perishable, got to put on imperishable. You know, on and on. So even those who happen to be here, and that's a blessed event, Mashiach comes, you're still going to have to go through what the clinicians here call a death experience. You're still going to have to go through a transition. You don't have to call it death. You could call it something else. That old corruptible is not going to make the trip. You're going to redeem that. You're going to get a new body. You already have your ticket. You're going to cash it in, and you're going to get a new body, part of your inheritance. So let's take it back to you're thinking, well, everybody got to die. When I said, you know, we're living like the world, la, 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 blah, we're dying like the world. You know, sickness here, sickness, this kind of sickness, sickness A, B, C, D. Well, you got to die with something. If you're talking about you got to die with sickness, that's a lie straight from the hell. Don't just grab things of the world as if they're Yah's word. But we're going to get some firsthand accounts. What does Scripture say? Out of the mouth, two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We're going to go down the line. Let's go back to our forefather Jacob. Setting this up here. Jacob, you can follow me if you want to. We're going to go to Deuteronomy. I'm going to give you four. I'm not going to only give you two or three witnesses. I might throw a couple of more on top of that. Real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 34. I'm going to stay in the King James Version, just make it simple. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Wait, that's not Jacob. That's the second witness I want to go through. So Genesis. Sorry about that. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 49. Apologize again. Genesis chapter 49. And we're going to skip a lot of verses, but because we're just going to get the meat out of this. Genesis chapter 49, we're going to go first to verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip all the way down to verse 28 through 33. So Genesis 49. So you think everybody has to die with one of the diseases of Egypt, right? You know, Babylonian diseases, diseases of the world, tuberculosis, high blood pressure, you know, cancer, heart disease, stroke, all kinds of diseases. Let's look and see. And Jacob called his sons. Now, this is a righteous man. So you could put this to a righteous man today or a righteous woman today. You say, oh, but this was way back then. Yah is no respecter of person. He is no respecter of person. And if you want to look for that, no respecter of person, I believe that's Romans. We'll come back to that. But the Most High is no respecter of persons, okay? And trust me, before the broadcast is over, you will get that scripture. We're in Genesis right now, chapter 49, verses 1 and 2. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. He's prophesying about our time. And he said, gather yourself together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Okay, now he's doing some very important things. He's giving his sons, he's blessing his sons, all 12 of them, and he's giving them a prophecy, each of them. He's prophesying to each of them. And these are words that they can live by, govern themselves by. It's a beautiful thing. It's verses 3 all the way down to 27. Okay, so I'm going to pick it up at 28. So he spoke to all of his sons. And a good book to get is The 12 Patriarchs, Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs. You could buy that on Amazon. And you get in very good detail. I mean, Genesis here has some detail, but you could get full detail. The 12 patriarchs. Look it up on Amazon. You don't even have to read it. You could probably get it on Kindle. But here we go. So he told them to gather around. Now, he knew, let's backdrop to this, he knew it was his time to go. How did he know? The Most High had given him that information by way of the Ruach. The Ruach was upon those of the Old Testament. How do you think they wrote the scripture? The Ruach came upon them. So the Ruach was upon him. And he knew that it was his time to depart. So he gave all of his sons a blessing and a prophecy. And now he's coming to the end. It says, verse 28, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, of Jacob, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered. Now, here he is, instructing them on his own desk. He wasn't sick or anything. He's instructing them to be gathered unto my people. Listen to what he said. Listen to these specific instructions. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron, the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron, the Hittite, for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. See this? And there I buried Leah. So he had already buried one of his wives, Leah. It says, the purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth, Hittite. Now listen to what he says in verse 33. Not only what he said, well, not what he says. Listen to what he does, okay? Listen to what he does in 33. This is key. And when Jacob, had made an end of commanding his son, when he finished blessing them, he gathered up his feet. Now, this has been my prayer to the Most High. He gathered up his feet into the bed, into his bed, and yielded up the ghost, gathered unto his people. Now, you tell me, that whole scenario, Yah let him know it's his time. The man just called his family over. It ain't somebody... Everybody got to go over, visit him in the hospital. He's in the bed, and they, oh, daddy, oh, you know that. No, he called them over. He's up ministering, prophesying like a warrior. He's letting them know it's his time. And he says, okay, after he finishes all that, he gathered up his feet into the bed, and he yielded up the ghost. Come on, don't tell me that you have to have some kind of heart disease or cancer to die, to transition. We're going to use, stay with the word transition. Okay, that was our patriarch, Jacob. Now let's go to Deuteronomy for those who follow me. Deuteronomy 34. You're going to see it's going to have to be a difference here. And for that difference, it's separation. It's the only way the world's going to see the difference. It goes hand in hand. They're waiting for the manifestation. For them to see the manifestation, there has to be a difference between Israel and the world, between the clean and the unclean, before the holy, before the set apart and the profane. It has to be a difference. And for there to be a difference, we have to separate. Why scripture say, come out from among them and be ye separate, if you will. Touch not the unclean thing. It's even Revelation says, come out of her, my people, and be ye separate, that you be not partakers of her plagues. It means if you don't separate, you're going to get collateral damage. You're going to be a partaker. You're going to be vulnerable. Just think about it. What do you think the children of Israel
if one of them wouldn't, and even though this plague was for the Egyptians, what if one of the children of Israel didn't obey and didn't put the doorpost, or didn't put the blood on the doorpost? See, there was instruction. That was a conditional thing. And they had their firstborn son in that house. What do you think would happen? Just think about that. Okay, so this is Deuteronomy 34. And just the first 7 verses. But you still think you got to be sick to die. So this is the death of Moshe. Now, we know Moshe didn't make it to the promised land, but Yahuwah was merciful to him. He let him see it. He said, that's it. Come on home with me, my son. And for those of us who make it in, I believe we'll see Moshe and all the great patriarchs and great women of the Most High. But look at Moshe's last day. And Moses, went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And Yahuwah showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And Yahuwah said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed, thy descendants. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes. See, he's showing it. He said, but thou shalt not go over thither. Goes on to say, so Moshe, or Moses, the servant of the Most High, listen, so Moshe, the servant of the Most High, died. Yeah, died there. He said, well, he died from something. Listen, he died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of Yahuwah. Here we go. It's going to explain some things. And he buried him. Who buried him? The Most High buried him. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher, his grave, unto this day. Verse 7, the last verse, and one of the most important. It says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died, or when he transitioned. Listen, this is going to give some indications of his physical health. I was not dim. Man still had sight of a young man. Nor his natural face abated. His face hadn't even, got wrinkled or old or showed his wear and tear. Moses was looking good on the way out. All the times when he went up on the mountain and came back and his face glowed or shone like it. Moses was looking good on the way out. Moses wasn't thinking about no cancer, heart disease, or heart attack, diabetes. Moses could see better than the young men's of today. His eyes was not dim. The man had it. He just transitioned. Just like our forefather Jacob we read about. It was time to go. That's why if you walk with the Most High, if you live with the Most High, if you live for the Most High, if you walk right, you live right, you can die right. Yes, there's a way to die. There's a time and season for all things. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. And during that period of being born and closing your eyes and transitioning, you can live right. You can walk with the Most High. If you live right, why not die right? If you live righteous, why not die right? Why not die like the righteous die? Oh, but you didn't think it was a difference. Hey, that's why we're talking tonight. That's what this whole message is about. It has to be a difference. World walks in and see this killer in the hospital bed dying with cancer. Then he goes right over to the looks over in the next bed, and he sees a person who says he's been walking with the Most High all his life, dying with the same cancer. He goes down the next floor, see this person dying with diabetes, who was a gangbanger, drug dealer. What, you have a pimp? He's dying, his last stages, diabetes done. I already had him cut off both his legs. Now he, you know, went to cardiac arrest. He'd look over to another side of the bed, person who said he walked with the Most High all of his life, dying with diabetes, had both of his legs cut off, heart about to give out on him. Come on now. I hope you're seeing this. You can live right. You can die right. The righteous do not have to live like the world, and no, they don't have to die like the world. I know you think it's far-fetched, but it's not. Keep going with the physical testimonies. Okay, so we saw two of our brethren. Now, there's different ways to die, different ways to die right. Yeah, different ways to die right. Those two brothers knew their time. Yahuwah told them their time. They got their house in order, blessed their family, and they closed their eyes and transitioned in good health, full of age, like he said about Abraham. I can't read everything. Abraham died old and full of age. I mean, he lived a full life, life to the full. Okay, so now let's talk about the righteous could die right in another way. You ever heard of the term martyr? You could be a martyr, living your life for the Most High, you know, gave your heart over to the Most High, living for him, running with him with all your might. But he might not have you to, you know, live to your 100 years old and, you know, transition, put your feet up on your bed. He might say, you know what, you going out, you a soldier in the spirit, you going out like a soldier. You know, you going out for a martyr, but you're going to have the same great reward. Maybe even more. Who knows? Yahuwah gives out the rewards. You're going to have a great reward in the kingdom. But you're still dying honor. Still dying honor. So let's look at one of the righteous brothers who this applies to. The book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 7. And let me start cutting things a little short now. Book chapter 7, start at verse 51. A little backdrop, Stephen was one of the deacons that they appointed, that the 12 apostles appointed. Kind of appointed him. They also appointed Philip and some others. So Stephen was a mighty man. He's filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, signs and miracles, wonders were done by the hand of Stephen. And so guess who came after him? The same ones that came after the Mashiach. See, he's a servant of Yahusha, so they came after him. Yahusha said, the servant is not greater than his master. They hate me, they're going to hate you. So sure enough, they hated Yahusha and they hated Stephen. So they trumped up some charges, now saying he made up stuff, that he's going to tear down the kingdom, tear down the temple and all this foolishness. So Stephen, if you know, was brought up before the council. They made all their charges. So when it was Stephen's time, we are in verse 51, Acts chapter 7. Stephen let him have it. He didn't hold back. He says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Ruach HaKodesh. As your fathers did, so do ye. He's arguing with the same ones that Yahusha argued with in John chapter 8. When Yahusha tell them, you're not a child of Abraham. You of your father, the devil, and the will of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning because he abode not in the truth. There's no truth in him. Those are the same idiots that Yahusha spoke with, the same ones that we deal with now. Verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. He said, you murdered the Mashiach. Oh, they're getting their blood to boil. who have received the law by the disposition of Malachi and have not kept it. He said, you're talking about you're doctors of the law. You don't even keep the law. You just keep your filthy traditions of men. He said, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Oh, boy. They guilty. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Ruach HaKodesh, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the majesty of Yahusha, of Yahuwah, and Yahusha sitting on the right hand of Yahuwah, and said, behold, this is what Stephen said, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of the Most High. So here we go. Remember, there's different ways to transition, even for the righteous. Verse 57, they couldn't take it no more. Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears, just like little kids. Stop their ears. Nah, 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 nah. You know, they're acting foolish. Stopped up their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Listen. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And that's going to eventually be the Apostle Paul. But and they stoned Stephen, calling upon the Most High and saying, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down. Listen how he transitioned. They stoned the man, doing the work of Yahuwah, following the Messiah. They stoned him. Was he sick? No. He didn't die with no disease. You say, well, he didn't die like Jacob, you know, just laid down and put his feet up on the bed. No, there's different ways to die for the righteous. He's a warrior. He went out like a warrior. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. He said, Yahuwah, lay not this sin to their charge. Now, you mean it? You're going to tell me that brother wasn't full of the Spirit? After they lied on him, trumped up charges, you know, said all kind of evil things, and took him out and stoned him? Right before he took his last breath, he had the strength and he had the love to pray for them and say, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He transitioned. So I'm going to ask y'all, so you still think you got to die with a disease? You still think you got to live like the world and die like the world, right? Okay. All right. Now, one scripture, I like the scripture in James. You probably say, well, these were great men of the Bible. You know, Elijah went up in a whirlwind and everything. Wait a minute. These were normal men. I already told you, scripture told you, that Yahuwah has no respect of person. 5:17. Listen to what he said about the man who went up in a whirlwind. Elijah didn't even face the same type of physical death that most of the world faced, you know. So you had Elijah and Enoch who were both translated. But remember, they had to go through a transitional experience too. But you probably say, oh, these were great men. All the rest of us, we're just normal. We have to die with cancer and diabetes. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Find me a scripture that says that. You have to get sick to die. Listen. James chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know what that's saying? He was just a normal man. Elijah was no Superman. Elijah, you could hit him over the head. He would probably fall out unconscious, just like you were. If you burn him with a hot iron, he would scream, just like you would. He was a regular man. He had some fears. Jezebel, Ahab, now was after him, he had saw the Most High do great things. This is the man that caused it, well, Yahuwah caused it, but this is the man that decided that it would not rain over 3 years, and it did not. Didn't rain again until he had to prophesy again and say, okay, release the rain now. But you think that made him from Superman? in between that, he had his own fears and insecurities. James was telling you he was just a regular man. That's the book of James, chapter 5, 17, because some of you are thinking that these were just superhuman people. No, they were not superhuman people. Now, last one, last example. This is one here I kept. Okay. Luke chapter 2, verse, starting at verse 25. This is the last one. Now, I went way over to require two or three witnesses. The Bible said, let every two or three witnesses let everywhere be established, be confirmed. I'm giving you five, okay? And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Ruach HaKodesh was upon him. And it was revealed unto him, listen, just like Yahuwah told Jacob, as it's time, get ready to go, get your house in order. He told Moshe, get your house in order. He tells his people, he reveals it to them. Look, he did it to this man too. He revealed unto him by the Ruach HaKodesh that he should not see death. See? He should not see death before he had seen Yahusha HaMashiach, the birth of Yahusha HaMashiach. So he had to see Messiah come into the world. Came by the Spirit. The Spirit led him into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Yahusha to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms. So he knew exactly who it was. The Spirit let him know, this is the child that you've been waiting to see. This is the Mashiach. He took him in his arms and blessed him and said, Yahuwah, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. So he's ready to go now. He say, that was my purpose. That was it. And you promised me I wouldn't see death until I saw the Mashiach, and I see him. Now he says, let me depart in peace. Let me transition in peace. Now, let me ask you something. Is cancer, which I've heard is very painful, other things, and there's other diseases that are painful when you die. Yeah, people put you on drugs. I'm just saying, it by itself is a very painful death. This scripture says, this man says, I'm going to go in peace. He's dictating his terms. Yeah, you say, what are you talking to Most High like that? Most High say, you shall decree a thing, hallelujah, and it shall be established. He's not doing nothing wrong. He say, now you can let me go in peace. Not going in pain, not going in no sickness. He's going in peace. He says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Okay, and he goes on to say, a light to the Gentiles and the esteem of thy people Israel. Okay, so, and he blessed them, and he said unto Mary, he went to the mother and said, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken again. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. He's prophesying to Mary how the pain she's going to have to go through when he died, when Yahusha died, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Okay, so let me just ask you this. Do you still think you have to get sick to die? No, I know those of you who have this fear, you know for sure now. You probably knew before, but now you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can live right. You can die right. You can live like the righteous, and you can die like the righteous. So what is it going to take? Is it going to take for us to live right, for us to even die right, or transition right? So for all those who are not going to be here when the Most High, when Yahusha comes back, we should live with all of our hearts to the Most High, for the Most High. And when we transition, our transition should be a witness. They should not look over at the cancer bed or the heart disease bed or diabetes bed and see people dying who lived a sinful life and then look right across the aisle and see the same people dying with the same disease
who live for the Most High with all their heart. That's not the way it should be. And it's got to be a change. It's got to be a separation. For it to be a change, it has to be a separation. We have to take it serious. And we got to do a little bit more. What did it say in Acts? In the book of Acts, they did something. And we're going to have to do something. Acts chapter 2. We're not going to leave you just, you know, just holding on, just wondering. No. Our people, how do we get the latter, the former rain, the latter rain? That those are the anointings talking about in the book of Joel chapter 23. It talks about the former rain and the latter rain. We saw the former rain when it rained down his power on the day of Pentecost. And that's what we're looking at right here. And when the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Listen, we're taking these principles. We're taking this precept. This is it. Us as a people, we got to pray corporately, Most High. Rain down your power from on high. There has to be a difference. He will answer. He say, if you ask the Most High for bread, will he give you a stone? Will he give you a rock? No. First he said, if you ask your earthly father for those things, well, if you ask for bread, will he give you a stone, a rock? Then no. Then you should say, so if your earthly father, who is wicked, I mean, just living in flesh, knows how to give good gifts, how much more should your heavenly father not give good gifts? And one scripture in Luke is say, how much more should your heavenly father not give the set apart spirit, the ruach, to those who ask him? See, they were all with one accord in one place. And they're calling on the Most High to rain down from heaven. In other words, they're saying something like, Yahuwah, send down your power. Send down your anointing. We don't want just to talk about you. We want to be about you. We want to display you. We want to put you on display. Fill us all with your spirit. Let our cups overflow. We're tired of talk. We want your power. We want the demonstration of your spirit. We want to heal the sick. We want to cast out devils. We want to set the captive free. We got to call out for that power. The book said, I believe it's in scripture Jude, it says, earnestly contend for the faith, for the anointing that was once delivered to the saints, that was once delivered to the set apart ones, the early believers who walked with the Mashiach, who walked with the apostles after the Mashiach was resurrected. We have to contend for it, and we have to pray corporately for it. We have to fast for it. They were in there waiting because they followed Yahuwah's instructions. We have to do it. We have to call down his power from on high. And guess what happened when they prayed? Did Yahuwah not answer their prayer? Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. All, A-L-L, that means no one was left out, where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Here's the good part. All of it's a good part. But listen to this. And they were all, nobody left out, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the set-apart spirit. Yeah, and they began to speak with tongues as the spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Listen to the change that they spoke with after they were filled with the Spirit. People start mocking them, saying they're crazy. Just like if you are filled with the Spirit today, people are going to act like you're crazy. They say they had new wine. But Peter, verse 14, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken to my voice, for these are not drunken. It says, but this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. Read the book of Joel chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. and on my servants and handmaids I will pour out my spirit. This was the power and the authority that Kefa spoke with after he was filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. I'm looking for one more thing, and we're going to call it a close. Let's see here. Hallelujah. I'm going to paraphrase this. They were so convicted in their hearts after what Peter said. They say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. And this is what we got to do, Israel. We want that power. Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be tithed, be immersed in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach. And he say, and ye shall, that means you will, you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. He say, you will receive this anointing. Brothers and sisters, we got to have this anointing. Yahushua said in the book of Mark, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. That's the power of the Most High. Power has to be manifested. Like Shaul said, one of the first scriptures we read, words is not enough. Eloquent words is not enough. He didn't want to come that way. He says, but I come with you in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That's how the world is going to see. That's how the children of the Most High is going to be manifested to the world, by seeing and witnessing the power of the Most High, Yahuwah. Ain't going to just come and drop into your lap. You got to ask for it. You got to cry out for it. You got to fast for it. And when you do that, you see what the Most High did. He answered. He answered them. So let's all today start crying out for the power of the Most High, crying out for his anointing, crying out for that same power that was once delivered to the early believers. Yahuwah is no respect of person. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I'll hear their prayer from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. It's time to put a difference between the people of the Most High and the world. We live right, we have to be able to die right. Our life and death both witness for the Most High. If there's no difference, if people see in our life no difference, they see in the way our death is no difference, then they're going to think there's no difference. And they're going to say, why do I need to come to this God, to this Spirit? It's on us. The Most High promised us the former and the latter rain. That was the former rain we just read in the book of Acts. This is the latter rain. And he said to be able to put this anointing into new wine, he said you can't put it into the old wineskins. You can't put this new wine, this new anointing into old wineskins, or else it would burst. You got to be prepared. You got to repent. You got to make room for this new wine. Yahuwah, wash me, search me, cleanse me, like David said. Wash me with hyssop. Cleanse me. You got to turn away from your sin. And you got to call upon the Most High with all your heart. And he will deliver. You saw all the examples of our patriarchs. Yahuwah is no respecter person. He did it for them. He'll do it for us. He sent the power down on the early believers. He'll send the power down for us. That's how the world will see a difference. There has to be a separation. Playtime is over. Repent, Israel. Repent. Yahuwah is waiting. He's waiting to show the world who his true sons and daughters are. Hallelujah. Come on up, Iman.
All right. Toda Elba Toda. Yes, it's serious, people. It's really serious. So we want to thank all of you for coming and listening to the show, whenever that may be, now or later. And we hope that you find something there that have you to get into action. And now I'm going to play the closing song. And shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Hold on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shalom. Shalom. Family.
All right. We're going to call it a night.
Good night.
And shalom.
Good night.